Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 37. Here we have the beginning of who we find out Joseph is. We knew that there was a boy named Joseph, but we find out more about Joseph. This is really where the story of Joseph starts. The oldest son of Rachel, the second to youngest son of Jacob. But Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his other children, which started a jealousy war between the 10 other boys. And they were jealous, of course, of Joseph, and probably just a little bit embittered towards Jacob. This morning we're going to look at the life of Joseph, and we're going to see his character. I'm giving you my outline. We're going to see his character, we're going to see his commitment, and then we're going to see his cost. Character, commitment, cost. We know that it all works out in the end, but Joseph didn't know that. He didn't know how his life was going to play out, especially when he was in the pit, and then he was in Potiphar's house as a slave, and then he was in prison. He did not know that he was going to be the second in Egypt. He didn't know how it was going to play out at the end of his life, just like you and me. We don't know how it's going to play out at the end of our lives. We do know that we're winners either way, right? Amen? You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You know that home, your heavenly home is there awaiting you. So we know that it always works out because we've read the back of the book and we win. We know that. But you don't know exactly how it's going to work out. So there's a lot of trust that Joseph had to have in God. Just like you and just like me. Genesis chapter 37, we're going to read the whole chapter, so let's read it. It's a great chapter. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger and in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. He was with Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. That's who he was with. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all the children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about me and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on earth?" And his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. His brethren went to feed their flocks in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said unto him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "Oh, they departed hence. For I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, They conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, cast him into the pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to their father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profiteth us if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by many a night merchantmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "This child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat of the blood. They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or not." He knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." This his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into the Egypt unto a Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Let's pray. Lord, we just read this wonderful story, sad story, hard story. I'm thankful that we know the end of the story. But in this chapter, dear God, we see so many truths. Father, I need your unction this morning. I need your Holy Spirit to guide me and direct me. I want to be a clean vessel. If there's anything in my heart that I need to clean up, I pray that I'll do that. Father, I pray that you'll be with those that are here this morning that are not feeling well, that are going through some difficult times, that are going through some troubles. Maybe their heart's unsettled, their mind's unsettled, and I pray for the next few moments, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will be able to capture their imagination and capture their heart so they might find the truths that you have for them today, that they might be better prepared to serve you when they leave. Then, Father, there may be someone here under the sound of my voice that does not know you and your Son Jesus as their personal Savior. And, dear God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict their heart, that they'll trust you to be their Savior today, that they just don't hope they're going to go to heaven, but that they can know they're going to go to heaven. Father, I pray that you'll just use me as a vessel. I want to be a vessel. A lot of things going on. I pray that you'll use me. Let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts. I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that I want us to see is I want us to see the character of Joseph. The character of Joseph. Here Joseph, he's out with his brothers, and he sees his brothers doing wrong. Some people would call him a tattletale. I don't think that that was what Joseph was doing. He was 17 years old. I don't think that he was trying to cause trouble, but I think that the reputation of his dad and the reputation of his family was really important to Joseph. And I see that Joseph sees his brothers doing some wicked things. And so the only thing that he knows to do is to call out their sin. And call out sin he did. And that made them angry. You know, the first thing that I see about the character of Joseph is I see that Joseph called out sin. And he called sin, sin. You know, as believers, I'm afraid that we are getting too worried about being politically correct. We're afraid to call sin, sin, because it might look bad in the media. Right? We're afraid to call homosexuality a sin. We're afraid to call adultery a sin. We're afraid to call fornication a sin. We're afraid to call out shacking up together a sin. We're afraid to call that. Because it's uncomfortable. And you know why we're afraid to say it? Because we all have family members that are living it. And when I say we all have family members living it, I'm saying we all have family members living it. And we don't want to cause trouble at the family reunions. And so we'll just let sin go. I think that's what happened to America a long time ago. We let sin go. Judge not lest ye be judged. The hypocritical statement of every believer that's afraid to call out sin. Well, it's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. But I'm not judging. I'm stating a fact. By the way, Joseph was on the side of God. It was not Joseph's opinion that his brothers were doing wickedness. It was God's opinion that Joseph's brothers was doing wickedness. And Joseph decided to stay on the side of God. That's a great side to be on, by the way. It's not my opinion that sin is sin. I don't get to choose what sin is and what sin isn't. I don't have that kind of authority, nor do I have that kind of power, nor imagination. But I tell you what, God does. And I've decided that I want to stay on the side of God. I'm not calling out sin. God called it out a long time ago. I'm just pointing it out. And sometimes that pointing is in a mirror. I have to examine my heart daily. And I'm telling you right now, it's a failure a lot of the times. But I've decided that I'm not going to wallow in my sin or lay in it. I decided that I was going to confess my sins because He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And friend, He'll do that for you too. I like this that Joseph called out sin. Some people were like, well, he's a tattletale. If he had just kept his mouth shut, he wouldn't have caused so much trouble. His brethren were in a lot of trouble already with God. Not with Joseph. Unfortunately, not with Jacob. Maybe Jacob, if he'd had a little bit more of control of his kids, we wouldn't have had this problem, but Jacob didn't even have control. But God had a certain purpose for all 12 of those children, and they were missing it. And Joseph's like, brothers, you can't do this. You can't do this. You're making a mockery of my dad. Your dad. You're making a mockery of your dad's God, my God. You can't do that. And he called sin, sin. Are we afraid to call sin, sin? I think we are sometimes. He called out sin. Because not only did his character demand sin be called sin, but his character caused the unrighteous to hate him. I see that Joseph was hated by his brethren, and Joseph was hated for righteousness' sake. Now, I do know that Jacob played a part into this, giving his son a coat of many colors. I mean, Jacob, of all people, Jacob should have known what playing favoritism does. Jacob and Esau. Jacob loved his mom, Rebekah. Esau loved Isaac. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And that favoritism, just with the two kids, caused so much trouble. Even to this day has caused trouble. And I want you to know that Jacob, of all people, should have known that playing favorites was not good. I mean, he played favorites with wives, too. That didn't work out very well for him. He played favorites with his son, Joseph, because Joseph was Rachel's child and Rachel had already passed on. And Joseph was the child of Jacob's old age. So I see that there is partly Jacob to blame to provoking his children to wrath. However, the Bible says that he called out sin and they hated him even the more. We as believers are afraid that the world is going to hate us. And I want to help you with your fears. Don't worry about it, because they do. It's not if they will. They already hate you. The Bible tells us that, right? Jesus says, don't worry. The world hated me long before it ever hated you. Be of good comfort. I've overcome the world. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you and I are not going to be at the Oscars. We're not going to win the Grammys. Right? We're not going to be showed favorably on the news channels. We're not going to be showed favorably with the politicians of Fairmont if we take a stand for truth and righteousness. It's not going to happen. But I think we do want it that way. And the sad thing is, I see in Joseph's life, here's a young man, 17. Pretty much most of us in here are older than 17. But a man of 17 was able to have enough character to stand against sin and be able to take being hated for righteousness' sake. I think some of us would fold if we started getting ridiculed or belittled for our stand. We shouldn't, but I'm afraid some of us would. Nobody likes to be picked on. Nobody likes to be talked badly about. But I want you to know that the character of Joseph called out sin and the character of Joseph was hated for righteousness' sake. But I want you to also know that the character of Joseph was why God was with him. I don't know if Joseph would have gone through all of this. He might have gone through this whether he was a bad boy or not. He might have still been Jacob's favorite. He probably would have got a coat of many collars, and his brothers probably would have hated him just for that. And so when he went out to see his brothers, they may have thrown him in a pit anyway for being unrighteous, and he may have been sold into slavery for being unrighteous anyway. He may have been sold into Potiphar and still been an unrighteous man, and he might have been put in prison if he was an unrighteous man. But I'll tell you this, he would have never been put in a palace if he was an unrighteous man. He would have never been put in a palace if he had a man of no character. I just want you to know that he was going to go through the troubles anyway. He might as well have God on his side, and he might as well have been a man of character, because the troubles were coming. And I want you to know, believer, they're going to come for you too. You might as well be a person of character about it. We don't know that the story would have changed. Joseph was hated because of his righteousness, but Joseph was hated because he was the favorite. Here comes the dreamer. Boy, I tell you what, we could preach a message on being a dreamer. God was with him. The most telling tale about Joseph's character was that God was with him. He was used by God and was willing. God was willing to use Joseph because he was a man of character. And if you're going to be used by God, and we're going to have to be people of character, and do you want to be used by God? I guess the question would be this morning, do you want to be used by God? With all of your flaws and with all of your failures, already there, we know that. We all have them. Do you want to be used by God? And if your heart's cry is, I really do, then you and I need to be a person of character. Be a person of character. I also want you to see the commitment of Joseph. The commitment of Joseph. Joseph had character. Joseph, because of his character, I'm sure, also was a very committed person. Number one, I want you to see that he was committed to his God. He was committed to God. Even though he was made fun of and laughed at and ridiculed, he never lost sight of God. God gave him a dream. When God told him something, he didn't back down because it wasn't popular. No, he gave the second dream too. So many times we as believers start getting a little squeamish when we're calling sin, sin. When things don't go our way, we kind of turn our back on God. When things start going bad, we start running away. We get afraid of voicing not our opinions, but we get afraid of voicing God's opinions. My friend Joseph was sold into slavery. We'll find out that he was lied about. We'll find out that he was forgotten by all people, but he was not forgotten by God. And since God didn't forget about Joseph, Joseph didn't forget about God. And I want you to know that there were years when Joseph didn't feel the presence of God. There were years where there were no dreams. There were years where there were no interpretations. There were years where we do not see God ever moving vocally in the life of Joseph. And some of you are sitting there right now and you're in the valley and you're like, I think God's a million miles away. I mean, it's been so long that I've been in the pit. It's been so long that I've been in the prison. It's been so long that I've been a slave. And I cry out, but yet I hear not God. I want you to know something. He hears. And when the time is right, and only when the time is right, will God move. Don't give up. Stay in the battle. When you're feeling like you're in the pit and you don't feel like there's any light at the end of the tunnel, I want you to know that God is the light. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's the light. In order for there to be a shadow, there has to be light. And the very next verse tells us that, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I tell people at funerals, just yesterday I said the same thing. You know, in order for there to be shadow, there has to be light. And I learned a long time ago as a young child that shadows can scare you, but they cannot hurt you. Laying in bed as a little child, the light outside casting a shadow on my curtain that puts an image on my wall that makes it look like a little monster. So I jump up out of my bed. I run into my mom and dad's room. Help, help, I'm scared half to death. My mom will still tell you that story to this day. So they go into the bedroom, turn the light on, and the shadow disappears. Might have scared me, but it can't hurt me. And anybody that walks through the valley of the shadow of death, I want you to know it might be a little bit frightful because of the unknown, but I want you to know that it cannot hurt you if you know Christ, because He is with you. If you're in the pit, He's with you. You know, Joseph was in the pit, so wasn't God. God was just being quiet, but He was there. Joseph was sold into slavery, so wasn't God. God was being quiet, but He was there. And Joseph was sold to Potiphar, and Potiphar had him as a slave, and God blessed him, and maybe even Joseph started seeing some fruit in this, like God has blessed me to be able to be the leader of this household as a servant, so I'm thankful for that. And then the very next thing, the devil comes along and pulls the rug out from under him. Joseph falls and gets thrown into prison, starting all over again. But even worse, every time he hit, it got a little bit worse. Now he's in a dungeon. He's there for a couple of years, and finally somebody has a dream, and God shows up. He's like, oh boy, I think this is my out. Hey, make sure you tell Pharaoh that I interpreted that dream for you. Will you do that for me? Oh, absolutely. I won't forget you. You know what happens? He forgot him. What, 2 years later, Joseph's sitting there thinking he's forgotten again. No voice from God, and God showed up. And when God showed up this time, He showed up in a big way that delivered him from the prison, delivered him from the pit, delivered him from Potiphar, put him in heavenly places, put him in the palace. And I want you to know that God is listening. And you may not feel like it, but I want you to know that You and I need to stay committed to God even though things get a little bit difficult. I also want you to see that he was committed to his father. He was committed to his dad. You ever thought about this story? You know, do you suppose that Joseph knew that his brothers hated him? I mean, it probably wasn't a hidden secret. Follow me. Think about this. Joseph, hey, Dad, what's up? Hey, I want you to go check on your brothers by yourself. Away from home. Way out in Shechem. Now, if that was me, I'd have said, what? You want me to do what? They hate my guts. I don't want to go there. He doesn't say that. He says, whatever you want, Dad. He was committed to the authoritative figure in his life. What a testimony. He was submissive to the authority. If I were a betting man, and I'm not, I would have no money. If I were a betting man, I bet you that Joseph never talked bad about his dad behind his dad's back. I bet you he never talked bad about his parents behind their back. I bet you he never talked bad about the authority in his life. You never hear him one time complain about Potiphar. Not once. You never hear him one time complain about the prison guard. Not once. We have no indication that Joseph ever was unsubmissive to authority. Let me ask you, friend, have you ever ran down an authoritative figure in your life? And you expect God to use you? Maybe you've run down your parents. Or your spouse. Or in some cases, your children's other parent. Maybe you've run down your boss. Or maybe your pastor. I want you to know by way of confession, I'm not innocent on these accounts. To my shame. To my shame, I have, and I'm sorry. See, I want to be a man of character. There's no place in my life to run down the authority that God has placed in my life, whether to their face or behind their back. And I just want you to know there's no place for you either. See, we see Joseph was submissive to the authority in his life. He was committed to his God. He was committed to his father. He was committed to the task. Hey, Joseph, I want you to go to Shechem, find your brothers, see how they're doing. Okay, Dad. He goes to Shechem. They're not there. He could have said, whew, I dodged a bullet. I didn't really want to go because I know that they probably would have thrown rocks at me or something. But they're not here, so I can go back and tell Dad, well, they weren't there, Dad. I don't know where they're at. Not Joseph. No, no, no. There was a task. And so he was wandering in the fields. I mean, the Bible paints a pretty good picture. He was lost. Just like any good man, he never asked for directions. And he was looking around. Some guy sees him, pulls up beside of him. Can I help you? Well, I'm looking for my brothers. About 10 of them. They have a bunch of sheep. They're supposed to be here. He goes, oh, I heard that they were going to Dothan. That's about yay, so younger that way. Oh, okay, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. and he went to Dothan. He didn't give up on the task. Hey, are you committed to the task that God has for you? Sometimes I believe that God lays a burden on our heart or a task in our way, and we look at it, we're thinking, yeah, we're going to get it. And when we find out that it's a little bit difficult or it doesn't go as well as we thought or it's not as pleasant as we imagined, we give up and quit. I mean, there's been many a bus route go by the wayside because of that. I thought it'd be great bringing in children. I didn't know it'd be work. Forget this. I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. That was a great idea until I did it. That's not nearly as easy as I thought. Visitation. That sounds like a noble thing to do. Oh, this is very uncomfortable. I'll never do that again. Hey, listen, I want you to know that sometimes God puts tasks in our way, and really, they're not very comfortable. As a matter of fact, if everything was always comfortable, you probably wouldn't be doing anything if it was very uncomfortable to do. I mean, every first day of a job is very uncomfortable. Dating a person for the very first time, going on a date, that's awkward. There's a lot of uncomfortableness out there, but I think that when God deals with our heart, Nathan, I want you to be a preacher. That sounds great when I was 12. That's way down the road. And 12 turned into 20, turned into 40. You know, it's gotten a little harder. It's gotten harder to be called a preacher since I was 12. It's gotten more difficult. There's been more tasks. I was telling somebody, you know, today will make the 40th funeral that I've preached since I've been here. The 40th funeral. That's a lot of people. I had no idea until I started counting them. You know, it's not gotten easier. Run through airports trying to catch planes so I can get to a funeral. That's not easy. And I'm sitting there thinking, is there any sight in end? Is there any end in sight? And there's not. There's not. Because I live by a I don't live by days, I live by calendar. You know? And but God give me grace and I enjoy it. He's always met my needs, and I, you know, it's even though it's not as easy as I thought it would be, it sure is a blessing. But that's just not me. That's you too. It's not easy driving 25 minutes to church. Turning around, driving 25, maybe I have people drive an hour, bless their hearts. And I don't mean that in an irreverent way. In Tennessee, that's a bad terminology. That's not what I meant. But I mean, I'm serious. They drive an hour to church. That means they have to drive an hour home. That means they have to turn around and drive an hour back. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know that I could do that. That would be tough. I like driving like a minute. I'm already complaining that I have to drive 15 minutes to get to church. I'm like, why didn't I move closer to the church? Listen, be committed. Commit yourself to the task. If God's brought you to it, He'll definitely take you through it. He won't abandon you. No, the Christian life is not easy. That's what I'm trying to say. The Christian life is not easy. The tasks that you and I have, they're not always going to be easy. They're not always going to be pleasant. But do not quit. Stay committed to the task. Boy, I'm glad Joseph did. He was committed to the task. What's some of the tasks that you and I need to be committed to? Hey, parents, we need to be committed to being a parent. We don't need to let our TV or our iPads raise our children. We need to be committed to being a parent. And I will tell you that being a parent is not always easy. It is rewarding, but it is not easy. We need to be committed to being a spouse. You know, it takes work to make a marriage work. It takes work. Somebody has to give in. And it doesn't always have to be the other one. Although I think my wife should always give in. But it takes work. It takes work. It takes give and take. It takes commitment. You know, love is not a feeling. It is a choice. It's a choice. It produces feelings. But it's a choice. You need to be committed to your employee. They pay you, work hard. Hey, listen, don't you think for a second that God's not watching your efforts and your work. Don't you think for a second. You're sitting there thinking, well, I'm working so hard and they don't even acknowledge me, but God is. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from... You just think your manager gave you that raise. Neither cometh from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but the Lord, He is judge. He lifteth up one and putteth down another. And if God needs you to have a promotion, He'll give you a promotion. Don't worry about it. You work hard and you be faithful. God will take care of you. That's a promise from the Scriptures. You can look it up. Psalm 75, 5 through 7. Be committed to the task at hand. You won't always be in the pit. You won't always be in Potiphar's house. And you won't always be in prison. One day, God may put you in the palace. You need to be committed to your church. Church hopping is wrong. I'm just telling you it's wrong. You should be jumping from church to church to church. Now, if you're looking for a church, I expect you to go church to church to church to find the church that God wants you to go to. But once you become a member of a church, you need to stay committed until they become spiritually wrong. And you can no longer support the Bible. They no longer support the Bible, so you no longer support them. You need to be a committed believer. Have faith in Christ. Committed to God. And finally, this morning, the cost. It cost Joseph his family. For the next, it's a guess, next 20 years, Joseph never sees his family. That would be rough. Is my dad alive? I wonder about Benjamin. Whatever happened to him? Are those boys going to go back and do to him what they did to me? I mean, the fears. He lost his family. He lost his freedom. But he never lost his faith. It cost him his family, it cost him his freedom, but it did not cost him his faith. See, there's a lot of things that can be taken from you. There's a lot of things that can be taken from you. Your health can be taken from you, right? Your family can be taken from you. Your freedom can be taken from you. But listen to me. Your faith cannot be taken from you. It can only be given away. And when I say that, I don't say salvation. Salvation is a permanent fixture in your life. When you got the day that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He saved you from your sin. He gave you an eternal home. You cannot lose your salvation because it was never yours to keep. He keeps it. He says, I hold you in the palm of my hand. And then He goes on and reiterates it and says, not only do I hold you in the palm of my hand, but my Father holds you in the palm of His hand. That's double security right there. Not only does Jesus hold you, the Father holds you. And if some way you could get out of the Father's grip, you'll never get out of Jesus' grip. And there's no way you're going to get out of either of those grips. You don't keep your salvation. It's permanent. It's everlasting life. Stop worrying about you losing your salvation. It's impossible because it's not yours to keep. I can lose my keys, done it many, many a time. But I can't lose my salvation. You know why I can lose my keys? Because I keep them. But I can't lose my salvation. You know why I can't lose my salvation? I don't keep it. And so if you're here today and that's been a bothersome thing to you, you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm afraid I can lose my... You can't. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting or eternal life. That's a long time. That you know that you have not life until you sin, not life until you goof up, forever. So get that out of your head. But when I say you can't have your faith taken from you, you can only give that away. What I mean is you're saved, you're going to go to heaven, and you're serving God, and then somebody hurt your feelings. Well, I'm just going to quit. You should never let someone have the power over you to cause you to quit your faith in God. You should never let somebody have that much control of your life. Bless your heart. And I do mean that in a bad way. You shouldn't let someone have the authority in your life to cause you to give up your faith and love for Christ. Not your pastor, not a deacon, not your spouse, not your children, not your boss, not your country. They should never have that kind of authority in your life. See what I'm saying? Now, health. A car wreck could take that away today. Right? But your love for God can only be given away. And I'm afraid some of you have given it away. You don't know what happened to me. No, I don't. And I'm sorry it happened to you. And I do not know what happened to you. I do not know what happened to you. I know that God didn't do it. I know that the devil did. And the devil's a great deceiver, and he makes you think it's God. Well, God could have stopped it. God has given you and me free will. It goes against his character to intervene against your free will. You didn't have to come this morning. You know that? You know, I had to, man. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and all of a sudden, my legs started moving towards the car. I couldn't fit. That is not what happened to anybody here. Now, the kids, maybe they were drugged, or, you know. I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church. I was drugged every meeting in the house. You know. But you, as an individual, you had to. You came of your own free will, right? And sometimes when bad things happen to us, and I've been here. And sometimes when bad things happen to us, we're looking for an exit door, right? Now you just hold Jesus' hand. He'll get you through that valley. Be committed to Christ. Be committed to the... It's going to cost you. It's going to cost. To take a stand for Christ will cost family members. You start witnessing to them and they don't want to talk to you anymore. Huh? I would rather them not talk to me anymore and come to the realization that they needed Jesus than to talk to me for the rest of my life and I lose them for all eternity. This is personal, though. It's how I feel. Don't be afraid of the cost. Because the reward is so much better. We don't have it here, but Joseph, man. Joseph gets a wife. I'm going to just assume she's beautiful. He gets two children, Ephraim and Manasseh. You've heard of them. He gets his family back. And God gives them 17 more wonderful... God gives him 17 more wonderful years with his dad. That's a long time. I tell you right now, I'd take 17 years. I'd take seven. Take 7 minutes. But I have all eternity. Joseph was blessed because Joseph was a man of character. Joseph was committed. It cost him. Are you a person of character? Are you committed even though you know that it's going to cost? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.